Okay, fine. I guess let's deal with a classic question here. One of the most classic questions that everyone faces when they open Parshat Lech Lecha is that...
Why?
Yes, why? Why what?
Why do you say that?
Well, even before you say Lech Lecha, meaning, sure, he says Lech Lecha, but what is implied in the statement of Lech Lecha?
You gotta go.
Yes, and why? Why does he need to go?
Like,
but even before that, meaning right before you even figure out why Avram needs to go, you got to figure out why Avram. Right? Before you figure out why Avram needs to go, you need to figure out why Avram. Right? Meaning the Torah never says why Avram is chosen. Right? Regardless of what it is Hashem is going to tell him to do, it never says why he is chosen. So why is he chosen? Because the Torah, fascinatingly enough, the Torah never said.
What?
You are the chosen one. Therefore what? Therefore what? And why is he chosen? Yes, that's what I'm asking you. Right, why is he chosen? Right? It's very odd. Right? We just don't know. Right? The Torah just drops us in the middle of the story, and Avram is... Right? Avram is chosen, but we have no idea why. So, there are many different directions you can take, and the Midrashim go in many different directions, the Mefarshim go in many different directions. But there's a few main directions you can take, and then many of the other answers can be subdivided into those categories. So, for example, at one group of answers, right, which many of the details in these answers are very well known, are, well, Avram was chosen because he deserved it. Right? Avram was chosen because he deserved it. Why would Avram deserve it? What answers do you know? What famous things about Avram do you know are basic attempts to justify Avram being chosen along these lines? Right, so all those Midrashim, right, the Midrashim will say, you learn by Shem Amor, or the Midrashim, right, this is like how the Midrash Rabbah opens up, and you've probably heard this before, right, opens up, Mashal echa keover mimakom lemakom v'ra'a bira achat oleket, amar tomar shebira mazo bloman, he hates the love bala his bira, amar lo ani hu bala bira, kach lefi sheyavar mavino omer tomar sheolam hazeb lo manhig, he sees the love akadosh baruch hu, v'amar lo ani bal ha'olam. Right. The Midrash seems to be answering this question. It says, why did God choose Avram? Because it's a mashal. If a person is passing by a palace and he sees that there's a fire burning in it, right? He sees there's a candle, so he says, there must be someone here. I want to meet the owner. And God says, aha, you want to meet the owner? Hey, I'm the owner of the house. Right? But what is that Midrash really saying? Right? And there are variations on that Midrash. But what's it say? Why was he chosen? Because he came to believe there was a God of his own accord and sought out God. And since he sought out God, God responded by allowing himself to be found, Peter, right? By talking to God, to Avram, right? I mean, that is just a subset of the answers that, well, why was he chosen? Because he deserved it. Right? He was chosen because he deserved it. In this case, because he recognized there were God. There are other midrashim to go farther, such as, probably the most famous midrash, which doesn't appear anywhere in the Torah, but it's the end of last week's parsha in Midrash Rabbah. Oh, come on, what's the most famous story about Avram which never happened in the Torah? Yeah, the idol shop, right? The idol shop, right? The idol shop, which, right, this is like when I was in Gush, this is like Rabbi Lipzig's always favorite thing, was to take people who never really read Chumash Al HaSeder and say, please, find me the psukim which talk about Avram's idol shop. Right? And then you just sit there and you flip through the pages and so you never find it because it's not there. Right?
Why does it sing?
What?
Why does it sing though?
I mean, it's a midrash. Right? It's a midrash. And what do you think, right, what do you think that midrash is doing? Right? There are different parts of that midrashic story. What is it doing? Right? What does it seem to be answering? So first of all, it's answering why Avram is chosen, right? Because saying, Terach was this, and Avram, right? So it goes farther than just saying he recognizes God, right? This seems to add an element to it, which is, he recognized God, and There's probably two other elements at least that emerge from that midrashic story, which are one is he's willing to be moser nefesh for that belief, right? Which you don't find simply in saying he recognized God, but the fact that you say he's willing to be thrown into the fire, which is the end of that story, right, indicates that part of why Avram might be chosen is not just because he recognizes God, but because he's willing to sacrifice for God. And in the first half of the story, you see another element of Avram's personality, which is that he tries to educate other people about God. Right? Because the way the story works is everyone comes in and he says, you shouldn't buy an idol. How old are you? You're older than the idol. Right? Each one of these midrashim is in different ways saying, listen, Avram deserved to be chosen because he was the first to come to God of his own notion. Or, yeah, he learned by shame behavior, meaning he sought out God. Or he taught people about God or taught people about the problems of Avodah Zarah. Or he was like, you know, Moser Nefesh for God. Right? I mean, all those midrashim are more or less, right, circling around a set of ideas, which is Avram deserved it. If you want to jump ahead to Vayera, where God says, what is it about Avram that makes, right, later on God seems to say what it is that's unique about Avram, which is, I know that he's going to teach his children, lasot tzedakah u'mishpat, right? So there you see two things. One is that central to Avram's personality, and perhaps why he's chosen is because of his focus on ethics, right, on tzedek u'mishpat. And the second is that he can teach his children that, right? So again, you see two elements. He's A, someone who stands for justice, and B, someone who stands for educating people in values, which is yet another reason, right? So you can, and the Mepharshim pick up and mix and match all of these different reasons, right? But that's one school. Now, what drives that school, right? And again, it's probably the majority school, right? Which is that Avram deserved it. That's why he was chosen. Why he deserved it? God, because he fought other people, right? Because he realized it was God, because he fought other people's lack of belief in God, because he was an evidence for God, because he taught people about it, he taught his children about it, he taught them about ethics, right? The reason people say that is because, well, if God didn't, right, if God didn't have a reason, then it's arbitrary, it's not fair, right? However, there are others who go in the opposite direction and say, no. Why was Avram chosen? Because he was arbitrary, right? It's arbitrary, right? Why would you say something like that? And again, there's a whole group of thinkers who may or may not go in this category. Maharal sort of goes in this category. But why would you say that, right? What's the, without getting too much into detail, what is the benefit of saying, no, Avram's chosen because he's chosen? Rabbi, what's the benefit of just saying he's chosen because he's chosen? Because God chose him, not because like there was a reason. He just did. Why would you do that? Why would you say that? Why would you think that? Right? Why would you reject the whole narrative that Avram was chosen because he deserves it? There's different reasons you might do it. Right? One is, I remember Carmi once speaking about it. He said one of the reasons that some of them have gone that direction is because we don't have a very positive view of what we call Ahava Tuyab Davar. Right, love that is dependent on something. Right? Meaning all the first ones say, why did God love it? He didn't really love it. I mean, he loved him because he did something, right? But if you want to focus on love in its purest sense, which Chazal defined as avad, she'inat liyav davar, you don't want it to depend on something. Now, Ray Carmi once, and again, I'm not no expert in Maharal, but I remember once saying Maharal, he said, there is a middle possibility, which is, like, normally when you say Ava Shein Davar, that doesn't mean that you love someone completely arbitrarily. It just means that your love for them isn't reducible to the rationality that you love them. It doesn't mean it's irrational. Right? Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Right? Meaning, it's not that you love someone for no reason, but it's also not reducible. It's not like, right, there's a difference between someone who, like, you know, I go to this store. I love this store because it provides what I need at a good price. And if they stop doing a good price, then I'm going to stop going to the store. Like, I have no loyalty to the store at all, right? That's complete Tuyab Davar, right? And then there's, like, a friend or a spouse or whatever, right? But let's take a friend, right? It's easier. None of you are married. This is easy, right? I have a friend because I enjoy their company. We like the same things, right? Whatever, right? because they're good natured. But if one day your friend wakes up the wrong side of the bed and, you know, starts screaming at you, whatever, right? You're probably not going to give up on your friendship. You're just going to say, okay, you know, calm down. Well, we'll talk later. You know, take what? No, it's not what you do in marriage, right? That's why I'm using friends, okay? Right? You're like, whatever, or right? The person doesn't, whatever it is, right? Or that doesn't mean you're not friends, but all. But if that happened every day, you probably at some point would stop being friends, right? I mean, there's somewhere in between where it's like, right? Even if you're not expressing that right now, right? Like, our relationship is not reducible to right now, right? I'm enjoying your presence. But on the other hand, it's not irrational either, right? There is sort of a history there, right? So it's possible to suggest somewhere in the middle, right? That Avram had certain qualities, but that didn't mean that God had to choose him, right? It's not like God had a checklist, and once Avram filled it, yes, you are the first, right? Right, it's like, right, it is sort of like dating, right, where there may be certain things you're looking for, right, but even if everything in theory you're looking for is there, that might not be, it still might not click, right? There are these two elements. From that vantage point, right, it makes a lot of sense why the Torah never tells you why Avram is chosen. Right, from the first perspective, it's very hard to understand why God never told you he's chosen. But if you say that God chose him for no reason, right? Or you say he chose him for reasons, but in the end of the day, the relationship he had was not reducible to those reasons. Right? So then, why would you not say explicitly why Avram's chosen? Because then it would imply that in the end of the day, the relationship is reducible. There isn't something that is transcendent, right? There isn't like a love or whatever, a relationship that emerged that is beyond that checklist. Right? Because if you say God chose Avram for this, then that implies, well, if he stops doing that, then he won't want him, right? By even if they're all true, by not saying it, right, it gives a more lasting impression to the relationship because it now doesn't explicitly tie it to any particular feature. There is one more perspective I'll just throw out there, which I like. I most recently heard my friend, Rabbi Dr. Ari Lam, mention it in his podcast, but I think it's a nice point, right? Which is another reason to think that the Torah wouldn't explicitly tell it to you, is because even if it's true that Avram was chosen because he was the first person to find monotheism and teach it, and all that stuff is true, in the end of the day, there's always a balance of how much you focus on your rights and what you deserve, and how much you focus on your responsibilities. And even if it's true that Avram deserved it, by not mentioning why Avram deserved it, and instead focusing on all the things Avram was then asked to do, it puts responsibility rather than privilege at the center of the Avram narrative. Right? Because, again, even if it's true that Avram deserved for God to be in a relationship with him, the fact that the narrative doesn't tell you what Avram did to deserve it, instead it tells you the responsibilities that emerged from that relationship. Right? Lech lecha, right? And yes, if you go, then I will bless you. But right, it starts with responsibility rather than I love you because and that's why I'm giving to you. It starts with go and then I'll give you things. Right? It puts responsibility rather than privilege front and center. Right? So it could be that the reason the Torah does this is not because they're not true. It's not because Avram didn't deserve it. He did deserve it. But why do you not mention it right off the bat and only hint to it throughout the story? Because the Torah wants to tell you that its main narrative is one of responsibility. Right? And if you spent so much time in the pshat of the Torah saying, oh, Avram was the best, and Avram was the best, and Avram was the best, then what are you going to end up feeling is, Avram deserved it, and we're his children, and we deserve it, rather than, what do we know about Avram from day one? That God has demands on him, right? Because then that means to be a descendant of Avram, yes, it's a privilege, but that privilege is always definitionally tied up with responsibility, right? So those are just some ideas on why it is Avram chosen, and also why it is that even if there are good reasons for him being chosen, the Torah goes out of its way not to tell them to you, right? Which leaves the Midrashim and the Mepharshim to tease it out by implication, by tradition, and the like. Okay?